Hello, friends. Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. I am Eric Heimlich, your host, as usual. And one of these days, I'm going to get someone else to join me here on this podcast. But until then, you'll just have to put up with me. I do have some things in the works, and Lord willing, those will be developing shortly. But I wanted to take time today to just share with you a little bit from our life and what's going on right now. This is kind of a personal journal podcast of sorts, along with things that I'm gleaning from life and that I'm gathering from the various conversations and relationships that I'm in. And so that's the nature of the podcast. If you're not familiar with it, it is just me getting on here generally and blathering about whatever I care about, whatever's interesting to me. And so it's not a very big audience here, but I am thankful for each one who takes the time to listen. And by the way, if you're interested in reviewing it, in rating it, that will help us to be found by others wherever you get your podcasts. That would be helpful. Also subscribing if that's something that you would care to do. You know, I was contemplating what to do with the transition in our family from being a part of the EFM family for the past 8 years, and what direction were we going to go now that that was no longer our primary source of employment and responsibility. And there were a lot of different things that I was considering, but one of the things that I'm passionate about is Victory Acres and continuing to develop it as a place of hospitality, a place of healing, a place of discipleship. And I put together some plans for a center for resilient leadership, at least that's what I was calling it, a place where leaders could come and be able to have the kind of place that I needed, really back in 2007, when we first took some time away as a family, and also a place that you know, has been helpful to me even since then. But to create a place like that for others that are in ministry or in leadership, that could be a blessing to them, that could be a help to them. So I put that together kind of in a short document and shared that with some trusted friends to get their feedback. And I think the takeaway from that feedback was that it's not quite ready for prime time yet. And so there's some things that we still need to work on. There's some things that we need to work through, and Lord willing, we're going to do that. I still think that continuing to develop that is worth doing, and so we're committed to doing that. Continuing to have the Nehemiah Discipleship Program that we've been hosting at Victory Acres is something that we're committed to continuing to do, and having the Summer Leadership Program that's connected to NDP. Continuing to develop that is something that that we're planning to do. And then also being able to share about that ministry specifically and the ministry that we're working on developing at Victory Acres at churches, sharing the vision, having others that will stand with our family and help us to develop that. But all that's going to take time. And the thing that I'm recognizing is that in order to be able to really develop that and to get it right and not just jump in there, throw something together, and then hope that it works, that we need a longer runway to be able to get this plane in the air. And so I'm thankful for the input. You know, when I put something down and I'm passionate about it and I'm thinking about this a lot, there's a tendency as a leader to become emotionally committed to a particular direction. And I think that's dangerous. I think that as a leader, we need to approach decisions like this with a holy indifference, as George Mueller would say. Lord, I'm willing to do this or this, either one, you choose. And then be open to the direction that's coming to us through the wisdom that God provides through his people, through his word, through the circumstances, and having our spiritual antenna up, so to speak, to see what it is that God's directing us towards and what he's directing us away from. And so I'm thankful for how God has guided in these past couple of weeks. If you'd asked me sometime around the middle of October what direction we would go, I would say probably we'll take the flying leap and see what happens. But there were some things that happened along that way, some conversations, some nudges in a particular direction. And so I'm happy to announce that this week I'm starting a new position with Heartland Christian School in Newcastle and going to be working with them in the area of development. Over the past few years, God helped us at Evangelistic Faith Missions and doing some of that same sort of work and learning some tools from my mentor, Zach Clark, Leadership and Development Coaching, and looking forward to using those in this space, in this time. It's kind of a ministry of necessity right now in that they're needing me, and I'm needing a position that would provide the flexibility to be able to pursue the dream that I have. You know, in reading John Acuff's book a few years ago, Quitter, Closing the Gap Between Your Day Job and Your Dream Job, I think is the subtitle of that book. There's some great advice that he gives, and the first advice in that book, or one of the things that he says, is don't quit your day job. And I think there's some real value in that. You know, we're in this season right now where, you know, people say things like, you know, just follow your heart, you know, just do what you're passionate about. Well, that's all fine and good if you can pay the bills and do that. But the reality is that a lot of people just have to work for a living. And they may not get to follow what they're really passionate about. They just have to show up and make it happen and hopefully find something that that they are passionate enough about and also have competence in, that somebody needs that skill, that ability to be able to make a living. But for me, the opportunity to be able to use the skills that God has given me in this space and the knowledge that I've gained over these past few years, to be able to apply that to the need that Heartland Christian School has right now is really one that I'm excited about. In fact, I woke up this morning at 3:45 and I was wide awake and thinking and brainstorming in my dreams about what I needed to be doing. And so I got up and wrote some things down and started my day a little early today. But it was exciting to me to think about all of the new possibilities. And I'm somebody that loves to be on the front end of things. A good day for me is when I get to try something that I've never done before. When I get to do something brand new, there's something about that that just, man, it ignites a fire in me. And I am so excited to see what God is going to do at Heartland Christian School and seeing if we could be able to raise a significant amount of money to be able to help the school there to be able to develop the dreams and the plans that God is putting into the hearts of the leadership there. Over the past 9 years, our family's been part of the Heartland family and watched it grow from just about 20-some students, I think, when we arrived in 2015, to the place that it is today with over 200 students. And so there's the real need right now and opportunity for an expanded facility. There's 10 acres that we own behind that, free and clear. And we have plans already, architectural drawings ready. We have a good understanding of what it's going to take to be able to build this building that's going to expand our capacity, really double the capacity of the school to be able to accept students. And right now we have students that are coming to us, families that are coming to us nearly every week that are wanting to enroll. And unfortunately, we're out of space. We've got people crammed everywhere there, and for the last few years, I've been on the board at Heartland, and so been part of that process of looking, you know, what can we do next, and do we need to try to create temporary space, and again, coming back to the reality, we really need this new building, and so it's going to be a huge, gigantic leap of faith as a school that right now, to be able to serve the students that we're currently serving. Tuition only covers about the cost of teachers' salaries, about 33% of everything that it costs to educate a child at Heartland Christian School right now is coming from donors. It's coming from people giving out of their generosity to be able to support that work. And so how do we develop that next step and welcome, you know, 200 plus more students? And how do we do that in a way that's sustainable? How do we build a building that is probably going to be over $3 million by the time that it's finished? How do we do that? It's going to be a God-sized challenge, and we believe that God is able to provide and that he will provide. And so I'm excited about seeing what God will help us to do. And also, it's an opportunity for me to be able to invest where our family has been and is, our children, our students at Heartland Christian School. And we just really appreciate the good work that they are doing in partnering with parents to develop Christ-like leaders. It's just a great team to be part of. And I'm really thankful that God's given us the opportunity to be a little tiny part of his work there. And in the process of doing that, we'll be able to support our family in a way that then we can invest our time at Victory Acres. So about 20 hours of my week will be spent in this employment sort of situation, which will make time then for me to be able to spend the rest of that working and developing Victory Acres. So I'm really excited about it. I'm thankful that God has given us this opportunity. I'm excited to see where it goes. And it's a joy to just be along for the journey. I feel like that as we processed this, and there's that period of grieving, there's a period of kind of fresh vision and dreaming again. And then there's that period where a decision needs to be made. One of the big three for my week last week was I need to make a decision about this. And, you know, there's some of those times when, you know, you weigh it and you can almost have analysis paralysis, as they call it. And you think about it, you're weighing the options, and there's the pros and there's the cons. But at the end of the day, you need to know this is the direction that God wants us to go. This is the direction that with his help that we're going to go. And you have to make a decision. I remember my friend and mentor, Brother Gary Fish. He used to drive the bus for Union Bible College. And Brother Gary and I used to have many discussions, talks, as he was along for the ride, or I was along for the ride, he was driving. And one of those discussions I remember was regarding the whole, how do you know if it's the right thing to do or not? And I remember him saying, "Eric, sometimes you just have to make a decision and go with it. Sometimes you just have to move ahead." And, you know, it's been my experience in life that a moving car is easier to steer than one that's sitting still. That God is fully capable. He is able. He is able to give us direction. He can stop us if we're going in the wrong direction. But many times what he does is he gives us those slight course corrections. And it's as we're making a decision and going with it, we think we're the one who's you know, stepping out there and really, but we look back and we can say with Fanny Crosby, "Jesus led me all the way. I was being led even when I didn't know I was being led." Because as we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and don't lean to our own understanding and all of our ways acknowledge him, when we are willing to put ourselves in that place of just holy indifference, "God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do," he's not going to just let us hang out to dry. He's really not. He's not just going to see, "Well, let's see if they actually make the right choice or not." He's not going to do that. Instead, he will give us the desires of our heart. He will direct our paths. And I have experienced that, and I am experiencing that. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have to be able to just participate with him and to recognize that he is guiding us, he is directing us. And while sometimes it's not the path that we would choose, he's working all those things together for our good. You know, as I was talking to Matt Thomas, one of the listeners to this podcast, by the way. And then he was texting back and forth with me about some of these decisions that we were making. he wrote to me, "Decisions like these are tricky since we don't have God's email. Who knows what lies in store? Like Phil Vischer said after losing VeggieTales, God is more concerned about what we are becoming than he is about what we are doing for him." And I think that's so true. And it's a lesson that I'm learning. I'm not saying that I've learned it yet, but I am thankful for what God is doing in us and the ways in which he has continued to draw me closer in the middle of this and help me to depend upon him more. And as I was spending some time in the prayer chapel this past Saturday in the early morning, just God meeting with me there and opening his word to me and showing me some things that I needed to see. And one of those was about waiting on him. You know, this past Sunday, I shared with the gathering from Numbers chapter 10, at the time that Moses is about to lead the children out of Sinai, and they're headed towards Kadesh Barnea. There's a lot of uncertainty there. And you see a little picture of that in his interaction with Hobab. And he's saying to him, "Please, why don't you stay? Why don't you stay with us? You can be as our eyes. You can help us know the way ahead. You know the places to stop. Please." He's feeling that need for information. And he says, "Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered." That's his prayer as they're leaving on that first journey. They've been camped there for almost a year at that point. God has done some amazing things during that time, including giving them the law, and he's given them the instructions for the tabernacle, and he's led them in so many intricate and detailed ways. And yet now Moses is coming up to this time where they're about to head out on a journey, and they're about to go through territory that he's never been through before, and to deal with things that he has no idea what's ahead. And there's this sense in which his prayer, his desire is, "Lord, you have to go in front of us. Lord, you're the one that unless you go first, unless you make the first move, unless you take the initiative, Lord, we don't want to move anywhere." And you know, the next time we see that in Scripture is in Psalm 68. And David, I'm sure, was reflecting on Moses' prayer that was kind of his prayer for the road whenever they would start out and move again. Psalm 68 starts out with those same words, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered." And David's prayer there is, "Lord, unless you go before us, unless you are the one that, like that pillar of cloud, like that pillar of fire, if you're not the one who is leading us, then we don't want to go. We don't want to take any step to the right or to the left without you being the one who is directing it and orchestrating it." And so that was my message yesterday, is we need to wait on God. And sometimes in these seasons of waiting, it can get really challenging. You know, David, the whole time Saul's chasing him for the nearly 8 years that he's fleeing for his life, is wondering, "What in the world are you doing?" And his prayer through that time, again and again, I'm sure, was some version of, "Lord, why don't you rise up? Why don't you do something about this?" Yet, think of all the Psalms that we have today that are a blessing to us because David went through all that he went through. Even the very words of Jesus on the cross from Psalms 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" were first there in the pathos and in the desperation that David felt. And yet those words and those Psalms reverberate down through history. And I think it teaches us something about these seasons of waiting. You know, it's in seasons like this that we learn how to pray. Really pray. I'm not just talking about "now I lay me down to sleep" kind of prayers. I'm talking about desperate prayers. "God, please, I need your help. I need direction. I don't know what I don't know. I don't even know which way to go. God, would you arise? Would you show us the way?" That's really the prayer. You know, it's in times like this that we learn patience. I'm not a patient person, at least not naturally. But God is working on me. And there are times when he just wants me to be still, just slow down. And learning to do that is one of the lessons that God is teaching us in times like this. But I also think that it's in times like this that we learn our utter and complete dependence upon him. That, Lord, unless you are the one who builds the house, we're laboring in vain. Unless you keep us, the watchman is watching in vain. Lord, the only security that we have, the only true place that we have to stand is not in the almighty dollar. It is not in the job that we call ours that may be somebody else's tomorrow. The only secure place is him. And learning that our dependence, our utter and complete dependence is on him. We learn in seasons like this. Seasons like Moses was experiencing, seasons like David was praying from. It's that kind of place. And I guess it's that kind of place that we're in right now. As Hebrews says, we have here no continuing city, but we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. In the middle of this uncertainty, in the middle of this challenging, overwhelming, exhausting situation that we find ourselves in, knowing that we can trust that there is a sovereign God in heaven who knows our name and how many hairs are on our head, and he is faithful. That's what I'm thinking about today for Gleaning and Gathering. God bless.